In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So this return of the fiat, the return of the life that Adam lost, is close. It's begun, but that great event, we're going to witness this. The whole world is going to be so excited when this great event occurs, because they're all going to understand that this is what God wanted from the beginning, and we're all participating in it. And those that survive, Jesus says, he says, the survivors will be the little children of the holy divine will. Why? Because you're learning how to live in the divine will. We're learning how to put the human aside to live the life that God originally planned. See, it's not to save the earth. It's not to save the planet. It's to enter into God's will. And because we're going back to paradise, we're going back to the garden, we're going back to Eden. This is where we belong. That's eternity. Our Lady promises that it's for those who want it, it's coming. So hang on to your hat. It's going to be great. So we're on volume 24, 9, 21, 28. When our divine will is recognized, okay, see, Jesus is saying this, when it's recognized, and the creature, Louisa, and the little children of the holy divine will comes to live in the divine will, the Louisa and the little children shall take possession of our divine works. And then we shall cease to give, because we have given everything. We have given enough. See, it's the fullness that's coming. The new and divine way of holiness that God's been waiting for from the beginning of time. Then we, triune God, shall cease to give, because we have given enough, so much that the soul shall not be able to embrace them all. And the creature shall begin to give back to her creator, and she shall give us, not things extraneous to unworthy of triune God, but our own things. Image and likeness. That the likeness is to do what God does. And he wants us in the new era. I just can't wait for the new era. It's going to be, think of all the things that you have thought of doing in your life, you know, creating something, building something, designing something, painting something. And you always wanted to do it well. Well, in the new era, what we're going to do is God wants to see how we with him can co-create with him. A new and divine way of holiness for everyone. And can you imagine? I've talked to some friends of mine that are architects, and what you're thinking now of building in the kingdom, it's going to be God in you. And you're going to think of things that you've never imagined. And when you collaborate with others who are architects, say, for example, and you say, I'm thinking of this. And they go, well, did you ever think of this? And you go, never thought of it. Well, then you go here. And then somebody else comes in. Do you ever think of this? No. And what happens is it's going to be so divine. It's going to be so much fun that what humanity is going to come up with the mind of Christ, with the life of Christ, it's going to be really astonishing. I mean, what humans have done in the fallen nature because of God's love. Can you imagine what's coming? Now, Jesus said he's building the New Jerusalem. He's building the palaces for us. But he wants us to, I mean, one of the things that God loves is to co-create with him. He does that with the women, with the children. But everything that we're going to do is going to have life in it. Because there's nothing in paradise that is dead. There's nothing in paradise that is inanimate. Everything is living. Why? Because it's of God. And we're going to share in that. So no eye has seen, no ear has heard. This great gift that God is giving to us to begin to live this abundant life is really, really totally astonishing. So he says this. He says, it's not going to be extraneous or unworthy of us, but humanity will give us our own divine things, the fruits of our divine works. So the knowledges of the divine fiat, the return of its life into the midst of creatures shall be open to the contest between creator and creature. It's going to be, you want to do this? Let's see what you can do. There's going to be no limit to what we're going to do in the kingdom. And it's a poor example, but that's one aspect of this explosion of divine life that our God wants us to enter into. And he says, dive into the infinite ocean of divine love and never leave it. We will be one with God, fused with God in his holy divine will. The soul shall be able to give us, and we, triune God, shall be able to let her possess, and it shall be the return of our works back into our womb. We're never going to be separated from God. What's coming is so beautiful. It's so holy. And when you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, talk to Jesus about heaven. Talk to Jesus about, the kingdom. Talk to Jesus about the new heavens and the new earth. Talk to Jesus about the new Jerusalem. Let him show you. And as you read the book of heaven, he'll fill in the details. It's so amazing what our God has planned for his children. And it's here for those who want it now, but it's not fully here. It's we're waiting for that show, if you want to say, that explosion that's coming, that fire from heaven that's going to consume the world in love, that new and divine way of holiness that's coming. We're waiting for that. And as it comes, don't limit God. What I mean by that is don't say, well, I doubt it. God goes, okay, then you can't have it. I mean, think of the worst day, think of the best day that you've ever had on earth. That's going to be your worst day in heaven. The best time that you ever had on earth is nothing compared to what's coming. And our God is getting us ready. So he's letting us taste, when you go, if you ever went to Italy and got some gelato, they always give you a spoon. And why don't you taste anything else? And you taste another gelato, and it's really amazing. And you go, next time I come back, I'm having that. And this is what God is doing with the book of heaven. It's the why and the how this is going to happen. And as you taste this, there's no limit to what God is going to show us. So volume 24, 4, 4, 1928. So the knowledges, the truths, the lessons, these promises of Jesus about my divine will have the virtue of it forming its kingdom in the midst, because such has been our purpose in manifesting them, in showing them to us. It becomes alive. Everything becomes living. Everything I, God, did in my holy humanity was nothing but the preparation and the cures, the healings, the divine healings that are coming that I prescribed so that the human family might recover, to return once again back into the order and the purpose for what, why God created, gave the, us the divine will. Everything's being fulfilled we're watching it. Everything's happening. Even in the natural order, you've heard of the awakening. You've heard of, the storm that's coming. You've heard, all of this is happening. It's happening. St. Thomas Aquinas says, what happens supernaturally must happen naturally. So what's happening naturally, what we're seeing is also happening supernaturally around us. And if we really look, when we read the book of heaven, things on earth become clear. It's nothing to be afraid of. It's the kingdom. And it's, as long as we're longing, desiring Jesus, as Louisa did, everything will be fine. we're been given her example. She's not complaining. She's longing for Jesus. She's desiring Jesus. She's pleading for Jesus. She says, without you, Lord, I have no life. Without you, I can't breathe. Without you, there's nothing. I need you. And this is why God allowed Louisa to write for us. We don't know how we're supposed to act. We're supposed to be longing for our God. And that's why I had it around here. Well, it was here. I was going to show you in the rounds book. I thought I left it. I'm telling you, things just disappear. I don't know what I did with it. Okay. But and when you pray the rounds of creation, rounds of redemption, it's all, every heartbeat is an I love you. Every breath is an I love you. Every gaze is an I love you. You're entering into this divine I love you that God has created for us, one with him. So let me go back to this. Volume 24, 8:26, 19:28. Now, in order to rehabilitate the kingdom of my divine will in the midst of creatures, it is necessary that my continuous breath return into their midst. So this rule of God, this breath of God, this outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's coming, this has to be renewed, has to happen, has to return. So what God is doing is he's waiting for this great moment that's going to happen. When the breath of God comes back to humanity, we're all going to be divinized. You see, it's St. Peter says that. And when you read the epistle of St. Peter, he says, we have been born basically to be divinized. That's what the priest says at daily mass. Puts a drop of water in the chalice. May we share in the divinity of Christ as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. That's what's happening. This is really an amazing time to be alive. So he says, it is necessary that my continuous breath return into the midst of humanity. That breathing over the little children of the holy divine will, more than wind, you can't believe what's coming, it may let the sun of my divine will enter into them so that with its heat, listen to this, it may destroy the bad seed of the human will. No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, to the point of no more sin. That's what's coming. And mankind may return to be beautiful and fresh as Adam was created in the beginning. And the flower, straightening up its stem again under the rain of my graces, raises its head again, becomes vivified, acquires divine color, and tends towards the life of my divine will and no longer towards death. It's eternal life. Do you see what's coming? As Jesus says this, he says, these divine graces, we are his little flowers, he says. You're my garden, he says. He says, become vivified, divinely vivified, divine color, never to have death again. Like he said right in the beginning, when a flower is picked, it's ready to become spoiled. It's ready to, it might be beautiful for a minute or a day, but then it just turns into a foul odor, Jesus says. He says, this isn't going to happen anymore. He says, what I've planned for my children is that they become vivified, acquire divine color, tends toward divine life of my divine will. So he's giving us the way in the how. So all I can do is encourage you. You have been given the book of heaven. Jesus says, basically, I'm the one, Jesus says, I, God, have given you this book. I know how much you're going to read. I know how much you're going to study, and I'm going to give you everything you want as you read, as you study, as you put this into practice. And I know how much you're not going to read that I have planned for you and not going to grow of what I planned for you because of not reading. And again, somebody says, well, you mean blind people can't read? No, it's this book of heaven is essential. for this new and divine way of holiness that's coming upon the earth. And it's here, but it's not fully here. As we read, as we study, little by little, God is leading us to begin to embrace the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies. No longer towards death, but abundant life. 524, 830, 1928. Louisa, my daughter, the kingdom of my divine will is all prepared within my holy humanity. Jesus has it all done. And I am, he uses God's name, I am ready to put it out, to give it to humanity. It can be said that I, Jesus, formed the foundations. I, Jesus, raised the factories. The rooms are innumerable and all adored and illuminated, not with little light, but with as many suns for as many truths, many manifestations, many lessons that I have manifested about my divine fiat. And then he says this, nothing else is needed. That's what you're going to learn. I love the saints. But when I read Louisa, the saints taught us how to do the will of God. Jesus teaches Louisa how to live in the will of God. It's not doing, but living. The true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. And that's why he says, this is not little lights, but as many suns in the sky as for as many truths that I have taught, manifested about the divine will. Nothing else is needed, but for those who would inhabit it. That's us. He's offering this to us. Nothing else is needed. Do you want this? Fiat. You don't want it? He says, there shall be a place and a room for everyone who wants this, because it is vast. It is more than the whole world. It's bigger than the world. With the kingdom of my divine will, everything shall be renewed in creation. Things shall all return back to their original state. It's going to look as if Adam never sinned. What does that mean? That means it's going to look like we never sinned. See, God's going to, he's repairing the face of the earth. The prayer to the Holy Spirit, the prayer to the Holy Spirit is, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your spirit and we will be recreated. And then you will renew the face of the earth, renew the face of the earth through the little children. Everything shall be renewed in creation. Things shall return back to their original state. Do you see why God has called us to be alive today? This is nothing to be gloomy about. It's nothing to be afraid of. It's to rejoice in the fact that everything is happening for the greater glory of God and the salvation of souls. But it's not just the salvation. It's as he says here, the renewal, the repair, the redoing of everything. It's going to be the Holy Spirit's going to repair everything through the little children, the holy divine will. How? By living a life of heaven on earth, peace, joy, and happiness. To the point of what we just read is that the sin will be gone. Death will be no longer here. What our God has planned is so beautiful. And this is the glory when you read. You are so happy when you read. I was talking to somebody and telling them that I truly believe this, that when you read, all of a sudden you've read it 10 times. And all of a sudden this time you're really happy. Why am I so happy? And I do believe that at that moment, God takes you to heaven and explains to you everything. It's that bilocation that he talks about. And at the same instant, you're back in your body and you're divine. You have a divine anesthesia. You don't remember anything, but you're filled with this happiness. Why am I? Everybody I talk to says the same thing. All of a sudden, I become enthralled. I become so joyful. Why is this happening? And I do really, in the divine world, there's no time or space. So I do believe that God is taking us and showing us the kingdom and then returning us back. And it's just like, wow. I mean, obviously you'll be reading, you go, man, that's great. This is so beautiful. This is what Jesus said. And what is he, what's he doing? He's making us aware of the divine while we're still here. This inspiration, if you want to say, from heaven, we're here, but it's spectacular. You'll experience, if you haven't experienced it, you will experience it. All of a sudden you're reading something and you go, and then you go back to read it and you're not as happy. You go, why was I so happy when I was reading that? I really do believe God is, he's giving us the spark of light, the spark of love, the spark of heaven. And the way to it, the way I explain it is like he takes us to heaven for an instant, shows us, and then brings us back. And with a divine anesthesia, not remember where we've been there, but we are so happy. It's, you ever wake up in the middle of the night laughing at a dream? You're just laughing hysterically. I remember once I woke up and I had a dream of a joke, and I had a pencil and paper nearby, and I got up, sat up, wrote the joke down, read it, laughed hysterically, put it down, and went back to sleep. And then when I woke up, I said, this is the funniest joke in the world. And so I got the paper and I looked at it. It was gibberish. And I went, what? Didn't make any sense at all. But that night when I was in that dream, and then I read it. I read what I wrote down on paper, and it was hilarious. Put it back. See, I think that's what God is doing. He's having fun with his children, and he loves to play with us. I mean, you're going to discover how Jesus is always playing with you. He's always having fun with his little children. He really is. And again, that's, to me, that's the divine will. So volume 24. Okay. Volume 24, 9-2-28. Now, Louisa, my daughter, by withdrawing from our divine will, Adam gave a blow and severed his dear and holy members. Okay. So think about, he's cutting off his arm. He cut us off, his children. And this is why man knows little about the value, the sanctity, the power, the light that as members, we were already his. Did you see what's coming back to us? The sanctity, the divine sanctity, the divine power, the divine value, the divine light is coming back to us. It's been severed from Adam. And Louisa, because of her fiat, has the true life of Jesus. Everything's been put back together. This life. The divine maker remains without, again, God remains without the divine glory, the divine love, the divine gratitude of the head of these members. We've all been hatcheted. See then, Jesus says, how necessary is the return of my divine fiat back to the head, in the head, okay? Okay, and that is man, so as to restore the order created by us. And have the head put back in its place. Yeah, this is going to astonish most people of what God is going to do. Everything's coming back to divine order, divine purpose for which God created everything. And as Jesus says to Louisa, I'm giving you this gift so that you, Louisa, can give it back to the man. Okay, so the head is coming back. I mean, it's going to be really wonderful to see what God is going to do. See, as it says here, then what does the head do? Give all the glory, all the love, all the gratitude back to God. It speaks to God. See that how necessary is the return of my divine fiat back into the head. That is man, so as to restore the order created by us, triune God. And have the head put back in its place and the members, listen to this, reunited once again. All the detachments are going to be put back to the one who so barbarously and with harm for himself keeps them severed. The fallen nature is where we are not one with God. So Jesus came to redeem us. He went through the butcher and he repaired everything. He shed every drop of his blood so that we are redeemed. We're put back together. Now, if you want to say this resurrection's coming, that's why he said, I rose from the dead so I can, so humanity will rise from the death of their human misery to live again the life that was originally planned for them. And now we're not only going to get what Adam lost, but we have the new Adam Jesus and the new Eve Mary. What's coming back, God's been waiting 6,000 years for that. And he has redeemed us 2,000 years ago. But now sanctification is coming. And what does he do? He chooses a woman. As he chose a woman for redemption, he's choosing a woman for sanctification. And why? So that, as he says, as Adam's daughter, Adam's offspring, took this away from Adam, Adam fell, I give it back to my daughter, Jesus says, you, Louisa, so that you can give it back to the man. So what does Jesus say in to Louisa? What does Lisa tell us in the three appeals? She says, and to you, Holy Father, you who are the head of the church, you are the head of the divine will. He says, you will be the first to receive this fullness of this gift. She gives it back to the head. She gives it back to the Pope, who is the vicar of Christ on earth, who then gives it to humanity. It's going to be through the Holy Church, Jesus says. And I remember talking to some people, this was years ago, and I said, oh, it's going to be so great when the Holy Father receives this gift. We were thinking at that time it was John Paul II. Then we were thinking it was Pope Benedict. And then we were thinking Francis. It's going to be interesting to see how God does this. But they said, well, what about us? What about what we have done? They had a sad expression on their face. They said, what have you done? what have you done? It's the one who's going to receive this fullness, as Louisa says, will be the Pope. He will lead the charge on this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies. It's a new beginning for humanity. Read the three appeals. Three appeals are beautiful. Try to read the three appeals when things are down, when it's going to get difficult. Don't let discouragement pull you down. You have to fight discouragement as you would fight hell itself. It leads to despair. And we can't go there. We have to fight discouragement. So when you are discouraged, read the three appeals. The appeal of Jesus, the appeal of Mary, the appeal of Louisa. It will really help you let go of that misery. Okay. Where are we now? Volume 24, 916. Okay. So there is nothing left but to know the divine will in order to possess it. What do we know? We learn the lessons that Jesus teaches us. We learn the truths. We learn the manifestations. We learn the promises that Jesus, then we begin to possess it. We go, yes, Lord, thank you. We read something else. Yes, Lord, thank you. And this is why I am manifesting what belongs to my kingdom and to my divine will, so that the creature, Louisa, and the souls linked to Louisa, may cover its ways, follow our steps, take possession of this great gift of the divine will. And my divine will, with its light and heat, shall repeat the prodigy of removing the bad humors that the human seed possesses. No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, to the point of no more sin. And in order to be sure, it shall place the seed of divine light, divine heat, that shall constitute itself the life of the seed, so that they shall exchange possession. My divine will shall take possession of the seed in order to form in it its life of light, life of heat, life of sanctity. And the creature, Louisa, and those linked to Louisa, shall return to take new possession of the kingdom of my divine fiat. This is coming. Volume 24, 924, 1928. Louisa, my daughter, indeed, it was my divine will to give the kingdom of my divine will, nor can I help wanting and yearning to give the great gift of the divine will. If it were not so, if I did not yearn for the return of man back into the royal palace of my divine will, I were to go against the order of our creative work, that is, the with highest wisdom, we created man, so that man might live of our own and dwell in the kingdom of our fiat, given to him by us, triune God, as his own divine inheritance. Centuries upon centuries have passed, and more centuries may pass, but we, triune God, shall not change. This shall always be our most important point, our only purpose and special interest, that our creative work, humanity, be restored. Our creative work, humanity, be reordered as it came out of our creative hands, and that it may live in the kingdom of our divine will. This is the divine decree. As creation was a divine decree, as redemption was a divine decree, now sanctification is a divine decree. It's going to happen. And it's very close. It's very, very close. If Jesus said 2,000 years ago, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, he says, to prove it, he says, read what I told Louisa. What she put down in paper is the sign that I'm going to do this soon. That's what he tells Louisa. Volume 25, 10, 17, 19, 28. Here in this tabernacle, I, Jesus, pray continuously. So she's looking at Jesus in the tabernacle. Again, this is 10 days after she started living at the St. Anthony Orphanage. But do you know what my first prayer is? My first prayer is that the divine will be known, that its rule that keeps me hidden may rule over all creatures, and that it may reign and dominate in humanity. In fact, only when my divine will is known, and only when it is formed in humanity, its kingdom, forms in them its kingdom, then shall my sacramental life have complete fruit. We haven't seen anything yet. Jesus says, watch the power that's going to come through receiving Holy Communion when the divine will reigns. We haven't seen anything yet. We haven't seen anything. It's the fulfillment of so many sacrifices, the restoration of my life in humanity. And I am here hidden in the tabernacle, making many sacrifices to wait for the triumph, wait for the kingdom of my divine will to reign on earth as it is in heaven. That's why he's in the tabernacle. He's waiting, and his prayer is that his kingdom come, his will be done. And when we spend time with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, we pray the same thing. Lord, may your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Louisa and the little children linked to Louisa, you too pray. And as you echo my prayer, I hear your continuous speaking by putting all my acts, all my created things in motion. And you ask me in the name of everyone and everything. That's the divine will. So when you think of somebody that's sick, you don't say, I want to pray for this person. You say, Lord, thank you for showing me this person who is sick. I pray for this person and all of humanity, past, present, and future, who are going through this. We pray for everyone who is ever sick. We pray for divine healing. We pray for the divine will reigning in such a way that everyone is divinely healed. So you ask me in the name of everyone and everything that my divine will be known and form in them its kingdom. So this is what Jesus is asking. If you're praying for your family, good, but don't stop there. Jesus says, pray for all my children, past, present, and future. Your prayers, see, there's no time or space. Your prayers can go 1,000 years before us, 1,000 years after us. And praying in the name of everyone and everything is how Jesus prayed. It's how Mary prayed. And that's why they taught this to Louisa, so that we can begin to pray the way Jesus and Mary prayed. When we really get into the rounds, that's going to be glorious. Your echo, Louisa, and mine are one. We ask for the same thing. What is that? That the divine will be known and formed in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. That everything may return back to the eternal fiat and its just rights be given back to it. Volume 25, 10, 28, 28. Now, so that the kingdom of our divine will may reign in the midst of creatures, it is necessary that the creature, Louisa, absorb into herself all of these acts of the divinity done for love of humanity. and absorb them so much into herself. Now, this is Louisa's job and gives us a hint about what God might be calling us to. One with Louisa. Absorb them so much into herself as to enclose within herself everything that my fiat possesses, interiorizing them and consummating them within herself. Who is this Louisa Picaretta? So my divine will, consummated within the creature Louisa, shall make this whole divine army re-enter into her. All of our acts that came out of us trying God for love of humanity in creation, redemption, and sanctification shall re-enter into humanity. And my divine will shall re-enter and consummated within them shall feel triumphant and shall reign. It shall dominate together with our divine army. This divine army is what we're part of. We're one with Louisa. We're one with Jesus and Mary. It's a new beginning for all of humanity. This is military. This is essential, that we fight to the death with love. Jesus says the battle that we're in is not of blood. It's the battle of love, and love will win. And he's asking us, Sister Mary Ephraim, St. Michael appeared to Sister Mary Ephraim and said to her, you're my little Joan. My big Joan, Joan of Arc, fought a tough fight. He says, but you, Sister Mary Ephraim, will have a bigger fight than her, because you're going to be fighting principalities and powers. That's the battle that we're in. And the battle that we're in is to defeat all of hell. With what? With the love of God. This is going to be so beautiful what God is showing us. This is why I do nothing but make you, Louisa, sip continuously everything that was done by us, Triune God, and that is done in creation, redemption, and sanctification. So as to be able to say once again, as I did on the cross, I have consummated everything. I have nothing left to do in order to redeem man. So shall my divine will repeat. I have consummated in this creature, Louisa, in a way that all our acts have been enclosed in her. And I have nothing left to add. I have consummated everything so that mankind might be restored and the kingdom of my divine will may have its life and regime on earth as it does in heaven. Whew. Wow. Who is this Louisa Picaretta? 5:25, 11:14, 19:28. He showed me many little boys and girls around me, Louisa, and the child Jesus said to them, this is my mother and your mother. Little ones made feast and drew all around me to get Louisa together with Jesus. And Jesus added, these little ones you see are no other than the first cohort of the children of my divine will. That's us, hopefully. And in it, all shall be little, because my divine will has the virtue of preserving them fresh and beautiful, just as they came out of our creative hands. And since it is called your littleness, Louisa, to live in the divine will, it is right, as the first one, you, Louisa, will be the tiny little mama of the tiny little children of the divine will. That's Louisa. Volume 25, 12:2, 1928. Ah, Louisa, don't you know that you are the tabernacle of my divine will? So here, Jesus is enclosed in Louisa. Where did he always, within Louisa, he's there. How many works have I not done in you, Louisa? How many graces have I not poured in you, Louisa, in order to form this tabernacle for myself? A tabernacle I could call unique in all the world. In fact, as for the Eucharistic tabernacles, I have a good number of them. But in this tabernacle of my divine will, I do not feel like a prisoner. I possess the endless expanse of my divine will. I do not feel alone. I have Louisa, the one who keeps me perennial company. And now I act as a teacher, and I give you my celestial lessons. Now I do all my outpourings of love and of sorrow. Now I celebrate to the point of amusing myself with you, Louisa. So if I pray, if I suffer, if I cry, if I celebrate, I am never alone. I have you, Louisa, the little daughter of my divine will, together with me. We also want to be there. We also want to become a living tabernacle. And then, having the great honor and the most beautiful conquest that I like the most, that this, that is a human will, all sacrificed for me. That's what we want. We want to become a human will, all sacrificed for Jesus. We want to take our human will and put it at the foot of the throne of God, as Our Lady did, as Our Lady taught Louisa to do. We don't want our human will anymore. We want to sacrifice that. It's not our free will. It's our human will. We use our free will to choose. Do I want to continue to live in my human misery? Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. Or do I want to live in the divine will of peace, joy, and happiness, of heaven? He says very, very clearly, in the Eucharistic tabernacle, my favorite tabernacle, Louisa, which I so much delight in, and I would not exchange it for the Eucharistic tabernacles, because in them I am alone, nor does the host give me a divine will, as I find in you, Louisa, that's such that as it bilocates itself, here's the promise, while I have it within me, I also find it in you, Louisa, and he wants to find it in us, the little children of the holy divine will. Volume 34, 124, 37. There is not one prayer or act, even natural, that Louisa does in which does not enclose the value of my acts, Jesus says. So in Louisa, the one who lives in my divine will, I, God, feel my life being repeated. And Louisa redoubles the price in order to purchase my divine will for the good of the human generations. It can be said that there is a contest between Louisa and I to see who can give more so that my divine will may be possessed again by the human family. Think about it. What Jesus is saying about Louisa, he says basically, she has this gift. I have given it to her, and she can use this gift as much as she wants, as I do. God's image and likeness. So what she's doing, she's saying to Jesus, she wants to give it to her little children. She wants us to possess this gift. Now, Our Lady, she's Theotokos, Mother of God. She's Mother of the human race. Louisa, Jesus said earlier, she's the little mother of the little children of the divine will. So we could go to Louisa as a little mama, as the sisters went to Mother Angelica, as the sisters went to Mother Teresa, as the sisters now to go to Mother Gabriel. This is a special blessing that God is giving to us. So he says very, very clearly, to the value of creation and redemption, it has enclosed in the soul of Louisa. So the value of creation and redemption is enclosed in Louisa. It adds on with an incredible love. It encloses in Louisa the celestial fatherland and makes its glory, its joys, its eternal beatitudes resound in Louisa as seal and confirmation of the creative and redemptive work it has formed in Louisa. After this, in order to be more sure, it creates in Louisa its heartbeat, its breath. It makes its life, its light, circulate more than blood as though in triumph. And it gives Louisa a new name, calling Louisa my fiat. This name is the most beautiful name, and it shall make all of heaven smile and the whole of hell tremble. A name that I cannot give other than to Louisa, the one who lives in my divine will and has let me do in Louisa whatever I, God, want. Louisa, my daughter, what can my omnipotent fiat not do or give? It reaches such extent as to give its own rights over its own power, over its own love, over its own justice, image and likeness, you see? It incorporates within itself the human will of the creature Louisa and says to Louisa, Louisa, be attentive. I want nothing else from you other than for you to do what I do. Image and likeness. That's what he's going to show this to us. Therefore, it is necessary that you remain always with me and I with you. Think about it. The priests are already doing what Jesus is doing. When the priest says, this is my body, Jesus is doing it. When the priest says, I absolve you from all your sins, Jesus is doing that. It's already happening. And Jesus now says to this little newborn, I want you to do what I do. I want to see my reflection in you. I want to look at you as a mirror to see me. You know, that's the thing that's so, what's coming is so beautiful. What's coming is so magnificent. And it's all here in the book of heaven. And as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, good things are coming. So we'll end with a prayer. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, for divine healing to come upon all the little children, holy divine will. And we make this prayer God's command, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.